Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding KK1.
Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Dr. James F. Rowe.
Our guest today, Rodney Hoag, the senior pastor of Community of Grace, located in Oakland, California, USA. Rodney is also the author of a 5-star book called Forgiveness. Forgiveness. If you want to be free today, listen to our program today, and you will discover things that have been stopping you. Also today is Rodney has been teaching a school called Christian Healing. And I mean, can you teach people to carry out healings and experience healings? Here he is, Rodney Hoag. Where would you like to go? You talk about restoring Christian lives and empowering Christian lives. What would you like to tackle next?
Well, let's see. One of the things that I do is that they get introduced to me in the area of deliverance.
Okay.
That's like their first exposure to me. But that's not really my main focus.
What is really your main focus?
My main focus is found in people's lives getting changed, people's lives getting transformed so that they can walk in their destiny. It's removing these constraints. And deliverance is just one of the ways we remove constraints. In my church, I've been here for, since 1990. And our focus has been, and I started in 1992 equipping people in healing the heart, physical healing, and deliverance. Basically, bringing the kingdom of God. Learning, equipping people in doing the kingdom work so that they can bring the kingdom into their world. Removing the constraints and bringing them into maturity, bringing them into their destiny. So a lot of my focus has been upon those things. Deliverance is like just one of the things that I do. And it's like, but that's where people kind of get a hold of me first. My major gift is in the area of equipping.
Equipping.
Equipping. Equipping the saints to really to walk out or to walk in the kingdom of God. That's really where my strength lies. I'm not a good pastor, in that sense where I'm not good at building churches. But I am good at helping people to make an impact in their world. That is what I'm good at. Helping people coming to the fullness of why God put them on planet Earth. And, it's like with our church, when we got here, I asked the church about our city. I said, are we impacting the city? I asked them the question, if we left tomorrow, would the city miss us?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we left tomorrow, would they even know that we were even here? And so they're like, no. So here we are 23 years later, and I was at the city council last week. They gave us an award. They know we're here. We are making an impact. We're working with other pastors in the city to impact this pagan city, and they're pagan. I mean, they're not Christians. The mayor's not Christian. They're not Christians. But we know everybody in the city now. We know the police chief. I mean, whenever this new police chief came and became the new police chief, one of the first meetings she wanted to come to was our pastor's meeting.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just simply have made an impact in our city, even though we haven't one-hour city, but we're in like, you know, one of the more pagan areas. Well, yeah, the San Francisco Bay Area is pretty much has that reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But with us, it's like, okay, we're not, we just want to create an atmosphere that's conducive to share the love of Jesus. So we've learned how to love our city and just kind of let them have God experiences and things like that. So really, deliverance is just one portion of that whole dynamic. But we start with right with where people are, right in the middle of their woundedness and their dysfunction, and simply help them to get in contact with Jesus, help them to connect with Him, and when they connect with Him, then He's the one who changes their lives. It's learning how to be a transformed person. In other words, living to that process of coming into who I am and how God has already made me, learning to cooperate with that, beginning to address what are the constraints that are on my life, and then being intentional about taking off what's not of Him and putting on what is of Him. So there's this intentional process of coming into maturity, which positions me, because as I have been changed and as I've been transformed, that transformation is now organic. I've experienced the kingdom of God, and now I am bringing the kingdom of God into my world. So it's helping people to go through that process.
You were saying you help people get rid of the constraints. Okay,
yes.
Well, what are the constraints you're referring to?
Well, constraints would be like how I react, how I think.
Okay.
The limitations I put on my possibilities. They could be like, where are my fears? What are my anxieties? What are the things that, or how do I see myself that limits what I can do? And those constraints simply hold us back.
True.
You can kind of look at it this way. It's like a wooden barrel. You know, it has these slats.
Mm-hmm.
And you got parts of your life that you're excelling in and maturing in. And those are the things you like to show everybody. Those like the front of the barrel. But you got these other places where you've not grown, where you've not matured, and they're on the backside, but they're low. But, you know, water comes out at your lowest slat.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what it looks like on the front. And so, you know, you got to address those areas that simply are limiting you. What is it? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it inferiority? Is it how you're seeing yourself? Do you see yourself as God sees yourself? Those are the constraints. They hold you back. Is it an area of bondage? Is it an addiction? Something? Is it a compulsion? Is it something you just can't seem to stop doing? Those things basically are the constraints that hold you back and basically may even disable you or put you in a place of fear rather than a place of charging ahead, taking a risk,
mm-hmm.
being bold or being confident. These constraints keep you in a place of timidity, a place of being held back instead of going forward.
You remember what Randy Clark says, how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Oh my. Okay, well, I guess we all have constraints and things we need help with. Oh me, help us, Rodney. Help us with some of these constraints, okay?
Well, what's your biggest fear?
Failure. I didn't know you were going to do me today. Oh, no. Use another example. Somebody else.
Yeah. Well, fear of failure, that's a big one. And, you know, people don't think I'm going to be able to do what I'm supposed to be doing because of their fear of failure. And, you know, I mean, people always have fear. They always have a little bit of anxiety. So it's not about feeling confident as much as it is about facing that fear and go ahead and doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like Gideon. I mean, Gideon was a guy who was always like, you know, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear in this guy. He was always trying to make sure he heard from God correctly and always tested God. But he went ahead and did it. So it's about facing your fear and breaking through. and taking that risk regardless, because you know God's going to, or you're trusting that God's going to get on the other side. But it's not like you, it's not always that you feel this confidence. Sometimes you do, but a lot of times you don't. So you ask yourself, what's causing the fear? Is it a fear of man? Is it a fear that what I'm going to look like? Is it a fear that I don't have the skills? I'm going to fall flat on my face? Is it a fear that I'm going to let somebody down? And then what's the cause of that? And then just letting the Holy Spirit basically just go into your life and simply just bring healing or restoration to that thing that caused that. It's really looking at that thing in your life through the eyes of Jesus. And basically having new eyes to see your history and to see your past. And letting Him bring wholeness into that.
So it is a process of growth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about how big is your God?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are your eyes full of the bigness of God? Or is your eyes full of the bigness of the darkness? I mean, what's bigger? I mean, why was David confident with Goliath? It's because he'd been with God. His eyes are full of the bigness of God. And he got there basically through worship, by encountering God, saw the bigness of God. He's bigger than the bear. He's bigger than the lion. He had some other experiences that build faith. He knows if he can whip on the bear and whip on the lion, he can whip up on Goliath, because his eyes were filled not with the bigness of his adversary, but the bigness of God.
Mm-hmm. You're saying it's a relationship and an understanding how big God really is. And I'd like to say how willing He is to step into your problem today, whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So faith comes as a result of knowing something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not always knowing a lot. You just have to know a little bit.
Okay. That's right. The key thing. I mean, how often have we been pulled out of the doldrums by just a simple thought?
Yeah.
One few simple words from the Lord to our ear, and it turns.
Yeah.
So in your ministry, you want Christians to realize who they are and shake off these constraints. What would be a message like you would have on Sunday morning about shaking off these constraints? Sun shining in through the window, you got a bunch of people there that look tired and they look troubled and they're not listening to you. Give me a little bit of that message.
Well, you know, I really kind of have to start a little bit earlier than that, to be honest with you. You know, the foundation where people start.
Okay.
The foundation starts with what the people need to know, what they have received from the Lord. They need to know what God has done. They need to know who He is to them. You see, people need to start, they need to know how to receive from God. They need to know who He is, what He has done. And it all begins with the goodness of God and the character of God, that He is our Father. And you need to know who He is. You need to know the family you live in, the spiritual family that you have. You need to know the nature of the Father. And you see, we start off our Christian life by becoming great receivers from the things of God. You know, children are always great receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They receive from God. And we learn in this early stages of our walk how to become great receivers. Children are great receivers. And so we have to be this child throughout our whole Christian life, where we know how to receive and are great receivers.
Okay.
Freely we have received, then we freely give. So receiving always comes before doing. And then after we learn how to become great receivers, then we're able to walk in that grace and then begin the doing. See, one of the problems is that we try to get people to begin doing before we teach them how to become great receivers.
Very good point. So first we have to receive. Well, that takes a lot of pressure off us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you need to know the family you live in. You need to know the inheritance that you possess. You need to know the nature of your Father. You need to know all that Christ has done. You need to know that every sin has been paid for. You need to know all that's covered by the blood of Christ. You need to know about your new nature, who you are, how God designed you to walk in the Spirit, and you learn to receive all of that from Him. You know, nothing that you do, it's all that he has done. But we learn about that and we receive that from him. Then out of the overflow, as we receive, then we can begin to do. See, one of the problems is we try to teach people to do before we teach them to receive. And all that does is create some religious spirit.
Yes,
or religious activity. So we kind of put out there the doing. You got to do this and do this and do this and do that. But it's like, okay, there's really no strength to do that, no grace to do that, because we've not taught them how to sit back and be a receiver first. Great saints are always great receivers.
Good point.
Yeah.
God doesn't expect you to do something that he hasn't already given you the provision for or the way before.
That's right. That's right.
One of the things that I often heard in church is once people get born again, get saved, get them busy, get them doing something, and that way you will keep them coming. Get them busy. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, they're not ready to do anything.
No. No, they run out of grace pretty quick.
Boy, you said that. Amen. Amen on that.
We burn them out pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've not taught them how to become a great receiver of those things. And, you know, and sometimes people don't feel worthy, so you got to work through that stuff.
Yes.
You know, I'm not worthy of these things that God wants to give. Well, it's not an issue of worthiness. It's an issue of he's a great God who's a great giver, so you learn how to receive. It doesn't matter if you feel worthy. He thinks you're worthy, so that's all that matters. So they have to work through any of the inferiority stuff or I'm not worthy stuff, get through all of that stuff, freely receive everything that God has to give.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. So this is what you're teaching about in the Christian Healing Certification Program. Is that right?
Of course, we're talking about a particular program.
Yes.
In the last program relating to equipping people. But people really, they just need to start doing it. I mean, there was a lady that I prayed for out of North Carolina. Her name is Susan Starr. And she's celebrating her third anniversary of her healing just this week.
Mm.
And she was, you know, she was healed. She's had cancer several times. Her autonomic nervous system was basically totally all gone. I mean, she was on her deathbed. She was in hospice. And God healed her, raised her up. And she didn't know anything about praying for the sick. And it really wasn't even in her history there. It wasn't a part of her evangelical church that she was participating in.
Okay, when you say evangelical church, then many of those churches don't even believe in healing or miracles. So what they believe is that these things have passed away. So this was something she probably didn't even believe in.
She wasn't even trained in that area.
Not at all. Not at all. So, yeah. So people started coming up to her saying, would you pray for me? And so she goes, no, you don't understand. I'm the one who just got prayer. And so I was talking to her. I said, well, have you just freely received something from God? And she goes, yeah. I said, okay, now that you've got it, you can give it. So she started laying hands on people, and people were getting healed. So you don't have to wait to get certified. If you've received the grace, then start doing it. It'll flow because freely you have received. Now you can freely give what you've just received.
You know, going out acting like Jesus.
Yeah. So sometimes people don't pray because they think, well, will God heal them or will he not heal them? That's the wrong question. I mean, the more people you pray for, the more people you're going to see healed. If you decide I'm not going to pray, then
right.
Then you've kind of ensured they're not going to get healed.
The value in this program is that people can realize, hey, I can do that. I should be doing that. Oh, what a wonderful message.
Yeah. You see, all that program does is simply help to equip you to, with it gives you tools to be a little bit more sharper, like you're just sharpening your weapon there. But we all do it. When Jesus, what he did, if you just look at the ministry of Jesus, he expanded the kingdom of God. He taught about the kingdom, and then he demonstrated the kingdom. So or he demonstrated it and then he taught them.
Yes.
Or in other words, you know, when you heal the sick and then tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he commissioned his disciples to do that. He taught them how, he showed them, he demonstrated it, then he sent them out to do it, and then when he left, he says, now you go do that, and basically every believer does that. You teach them to do what I taught you to do, simply to declare the kingdom of God, declare the rule of God, and then demonstrate that. So that is the commission that is that's on every believer. Whenever you see Philip going to Samaria in Acts chapter 8, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, the disciples sent him out. He was a missionary. They laid hands, and he just went out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't even have him mentioned at all until all of a sudden he shows up in Samaria doing stuff that we see only the apostles doing previously.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody gets to do the stuff. They just need to go out and do it.
They need to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think of a David Hogan. He says this statement, you know, he's a pretty powerful preacher.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He said, I prayed for thousands of people that were not raised from the dead. But he's also had a few hundred people raised from the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful, Rodney. We sure enjoy the testimonies and the teaching that you offer today. I'd like to go back to our first program where you were talking about this book that you've written that has been so influential, a book titled Forgiveness. I'd like to hear some testimonies about the effectiveness of that book. And if you could repeat what she told us on the first program, we would like to hear it again. And then afterwards, if you would pray for those that are listening today, in their hearts, they're hungry. I want what Rodney's teaching, they're saying today. I want what he has. And that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, well, you know, we always see lots of people healed. Susan Starr is, you know, she's one who's really walking into stuff because she was healed. I heard, but we always impact people, and we don't always know how much people are impacted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get emails or I talk to people all the time that says, you don't know what happened to me whenever you prayed for me or whenever, you know, I attended that thing and I got set free. And then they simply go out and they touch somebody. We talked about in the last program, the forgiveness book.
Yes.
I was a little over a year ago, I was at a conference in Reading that Randy Clark was teaching, and I wasn't teaching it. I was just simply attending it. Lady comes up to me and she said this. She says, I got a hold of your forgiveness book about 4 years ago, and, I'm in downtown at the inner city mission, and I give the book away. She said, there's one guy that has read your book 8 times, and every time he's read the book, he's been healed. Something else. He's able to forgive something. And then she said, but the great testimony is not about him, but it's about his mother. His mother was living in Colorado. She was on her deathbed. She's in hospice, getting ready to die. His sister goes, takes the book, reads the book 3 times to her. In the process, she gets, you know, she's not healed, but she's able to forgive everybody. She forgives God, she forgives herself, she forgives everybody around her, and she gives her heart to Jesus. You know, she gives her heart to Jesus, and like the next week, she dies. So the lady said to me, she said, thank you for the book. She said, that lady's in heaven because of that. And I just look at that here's some people that are getting set free, people who are coming into the kingdom of God because they've learned and experienced the power of forgiveness. So people are getting healed, people get set free, and people are coming into the kingdom because of that. So, and by the way, you know, just to let your listeners know, you don't really know all the effects of the seeds that you plant. Some people, you touch them, they have a God encounter, and then like a month or two later, that seed explodes into a full-grown plant. And the kingdom of God manifests in their life, and their lives are changed. So you just keep doing the work of God, and scattering the seeds of heaven. Because God will make sure those things get watered and fertilized and bear fruit.
Wow. One statement you made that some people it may be hard to understand, but you said she forgave God or they forgave God.
Yeah.
You know, people hold things against God because we're taught that. We're taught that God did that.
Yeah.
Rodney, would you pray for someone out there, the people that are listening?
Sure. So, Lord, I just pray for the people right now who are struggling with this area of forgiveness, about forgiving themselves, forgiving other people who've hurt them and wounded them. It may even be to forgive God for the things that he thinks that he did against them. We thank you, God, that you're just big enough, that you're great enough to just show us grace in this. So if this is you, would you just repeat after me? Would you just say, in the name of Jesus, I release this person, or I forgive myself, or I forgive God for the things I think that he did against me. And just say, I forgive them in Jesus' name. And I release them, or I release myself in Jesus' name. And I forgive them in Jesus' name. Just do that. And just say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the grace to forgive. We just break every curse that we've sent against anybody else. Anything that may be coming back to us because of the curses out of our mouth, we just not break and we cancel all those assignments of hell. We can just call upon the blessing of heaven now just to rest upon us and to live in complete freedom of our decision to release and to forgive as we have been forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, for that grace, as we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There is power in forgiveness. Today, my friend, we've had Rodney Hoag, the author of a book called Forgiveness. I thank you, Rodney, for being here today and for this wonderful message.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be with you today.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. You can get in touch with Dr. Jim Rome, or you can contact today's guest by logging on to www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country's way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred, in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need. Talks they are good, and talk of peace we should, but worthless with Jesus left out. To him let's bow our knees, for he's the Prince of Peace, and he's the worldwide need without a doubt. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul less sinning, that's what we need.